Hey, what's up, guys? It's Jordan with the Laundromat Resource Podcast. This is show number 41, and I am actually a little bit nervous about today, because today I hand over the reins, and Peter Mayberry, a former guest of the Laundromat Resource Podcast, I'll link to his episode down below because it was awesome, but he actually takes over as host for the day, and he interviews me about my experience in the laundromat industry. We had a ton of fun. We talk about my experience getting into the industry and my experience in the business and a lot more. And because we get into so much, we're just going to jump right into it. So here's your ad for today. It's a great time to be refreshing, retooling your website. If you don't have a website for your laundromat or any other business, now's the time to do it. So if you're interested in a website, check out laundromatresource.com/get-online. We do laundromat websites. We know laundromats. We know websites. We also build for other businesses. So if you got other businesses going on, let us know. We can help you out. All right, that's enough of that. And let's jump into it. I'm going to hand over the reins to Peter. Wish me luck.
Hey, welcome everybody to the Laundromat Podcast. I am super pumped because today we have an awesome, awesome guy that's going to be coming on here. He's doing some really, really big, innovative things in the industry. So again, I'm Peter Mayberry for one day only. I'm taking over the podcast. I don't know what Jordan Berry's doing. He must be on vacation or something. No, just kidding. Actually, our guest today is the Jordan Berry. How are you doing today, Jordan?
Is that what I sound like?
No. I'm doing good. I just tried to be super positive because I'm not always that guy. Yeah. I love it. You're such a positive guy. I truly do. Not making fun of you. Love it. I love that you're so positive.
Hey, man, I'm doing awesome today. Thank you for having me on your show. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to host it for one day and you could have anybody on it and you chose me, I just feel honored right now.
Actually, this is my first podcast ever. So this is my first actual podcast since I'm taking it over. I mean, I did yours, which was my first time being a guest on one.
Wow.
Now this is my first time hosting one.
You're like moving right on up.
I know, I'm loving this.
Yeah.
So we might as well get into this though, because I know that I seriously do believe, and I told you this beforehand. I mean, I was very fascinated by your story and just talking about some of the stuff. So why don't you start with just kind of telling us your background and who you are?
Yeah. Man, I'm so nervous, man. This is how everybody feels when they come on the podcast. I'm so nervous.
I think at first I was actually a little bit, probably like the first like couple minutes, but then you know so much about the laundry industry. So like, honestly, when you start talking, well, I told you too, like I started reflecting on stuff that I probably hadn't even reflected on because nobody else asked me laundry questions. I mean, when I go out with friends and stuff, they're like, hey, tell me about laundry. You know, we're with you and the people that we deal with in this industry. I think you do get more of those thought provoking questions.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, well, I'm gonna swallow the nerves and get going. But I'll tell you a little bit about me. So, I'm here in Southern California, and I've lived here most of my life. I lived up in Northern California for 8 years for a little while. My wife's from up there. And funny side note, I just had to drive up and back to San Francisco last night or yesterday. It was a long day. But I lived up there, but back down here again in Southern California, and my background is in ministry. Actually, I was a pastor for 15 years, and did that as a job. And then, at some point I just was like, you know, I think it's a good time for me to kind of transition out of doing this as a job. You know, I love helping people. I love being a part of people's lives. I love having conversations with people. But it was just a good time for me. We had young kids and, I just wanted to spend more time with them. So I actually got out of ministry and, you know, doing it as a job. And, we had like a little, I got out with like no plan at all, like no plan. And we had a little bit of money and we were trying to figure out what to do. We owned our house here in Southern California in Whittier at the time. And, we were trying to figure out what to do. And I had this genius idea. And my idea was, why don't we, our kids were like one and like three. They were like young. And I said, why don't we take our money? We'll rent out our house in here in Southern California. We'll take our money. We'll go buy like a condo on the beach in Hawaii somewhere, live in Hawaii for a couple of years, rent out our house in Southern California. Then when our kids are school aged, if we want to come back to Southern California, we can move back to our house and, you know, rent out our condo in Hawaii, net gain condo in Hawaii. And I thought that was a genius plan. Still think it's a genius plan, but my wife, funnily enough, her thought was, well, why don't we take that money and buy a laundromat? And thus begins the saga of the laundromat. So that's kind of where
your wife's idea.
It was my wife's. And what's so surprising is, okay, so me, like, I'm like the idea guy. I'm like, let's do this crazy idea. Let's go on this crazy adventure. Let's take this like left turn out of nowhere in life. Like, I'm always saying these ideas. My wife is very like, she likes calm and stable and but it was her idea to get a laundromat. And I think nobody saw it coming, including me, but we decided to buy a laundromat. And I still debate whether that was the right call or not. You know, cause
do you know why she thought laundry? Like,
yeah.
What was her basis for it?
So the reason was because, you know, we wanted to be able to spend some time with our kids. And so we were looking for a place to put our money where it could work for us. And it didn't have to necessarily support us completely, but we wanted money coming in that wasn't tied to our time. And that was before, I mean, literally for us, shoot, that was like kind of like incredible foresight for us because we didn't know anything about business. We didn't know anything about investing, you know, like she's a teacher. I was a pastor. Like we didn't know, we were dumb. Like I'll just say it, we were dumb. We had no idea. But that was really good mindset for her to kind of come up with. And I don't know where she got it, but that was the idea behind it is let's put that money to work. And then maybe later down the line, we can go get a house in Hawaii. So still on the docket, maybe, who knows?
No, I think that is awesome goal. Like, I actually love that. I mean, my wife talks about like maybe going to Florida or something in Orlando, but I don't know why Hawaii would be perfect. I mean, isn't like the temperature always 70 degrees there or something?
Yeah. Yeah. See? Air and water, man. It's like, it's no, awesome. Like,
yeah, that's crazy. So you bought the laundromat, your wife got you into it. What was your first experience? Like when you got your first laundromat, and actually I do have some follow-up questions too on this when you get going, because I thought before we talked before the interview started. And I also am fascinated to know more too about the era that you got, because I think even for me, like I have laundromats in all types of areas, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that one thing that is probably overlooked and not talked about a lot is sometimes you can get these laundromats that are not in the greatest of neighborhoods. And truthfully, probably, I mean, a lot of your viewers would probably like to know, especially the ones that are trying to get into the laundromat business, certain areas are not for everybody, right? But I don't want to take anything over here, but like, I hope you expand on that too, because I think that's a really, really important thing. And like I said, I know we talked about it beforehand, so I know the viewers didn't hear that, but I want them to hear it. So don't let me forget that part.
Yeah, no, I'll definitely share some of that. And, you know, I'll get into, you know, I mean, you asked about my experience getting in, and it was, I don't want to like depress anybody, but I mean, it was depressing. Like it was bad. It was rough. So kind of how it went down was, okay, we decided we're going to get a laundromat, and we're like, okay, what do we do? Like, right. I don't know. Like, so I tried doing as much research as possible. I checked out stuff at the CLA. I joined the CLA. I checked out their stuff. I tried to reach out to people. I got kicked out of a lot of laundromats. I tried to go talk to like laundromat owners, and there were like so many, not everybody, some talked to me, but a lot of them were like, they didn't want anything to do with me. I don't know if they thought I was like trying to move into their turf or I don't know what, but that kind of inspired. There's an earlier podcast episode I did that I called "The Laundromat Industry Needs to Grow Up." And it was kind of from some of those experiences and some other experiences, but I learned everything I could, but I struggled finding enough solid information, hard numbers, like stuff like that, where I just didn't know. I just didn't know anything. And I didn't know anything about business either. I didn't know anything about investing. So I was, we were just green everywhere. So we started looking for laundromats online, just like most people, like biz buy sell or biz bin or whatever. And you know, you may know, but like most of those deals are not necessarily the best deals. Those are the ones that kind of got passed over by the investor lists that these brokers have by and large. And I didn't know that. And found one that I really liked, called the broker, went and checked it out. The owner was super unreasonable. It needed a complete retool and wanted like a crazy amount of money for it. It wasn't making any money. It was losing money. And the broker said, well, hey, I have this other one that I want to show you. And it's on the border of East LA in Montebello. And so we went and checked it out. Also a dump. There's, you know, roaches. The walls had, you know, different kinds of wood paneling. A lot of the machines were broken, a bunch of top loaders, old machines. And it just kind of looked dark and dingy. Most of the lights were out. And the broker said, hey, you know, I know it doesn't look, it's nothing really to look at, but you know, look at all the, there's a ton of apartment buildings around the area. He's like, look at the area, you know, it can be really great. And I was like, yeah, this makes a ton of sense. And, so we ended up kind of springing on that one and buying it. We bought it, all cash and then financed the equipment. Which was another kind of ordeal in and of itself. And I think I've mentioned this in other episodes, but I'll give a quick little rundown of it because it ended up saving me 40 grand. I was just going with the equipment manufacturer that the broker was a distributor for them. And they, at the last, like a week before installation, they decided to change terms on me. And, so I was like, well, I'm going to go talk to some other people then. I didn't talk to anybody else beforehand. Didn't even cross my mind. And you know, for most people, you guys are smarter than that and smarter than me, but I was just not that smart. And so I went and talked to some others and just basically just handed them the quote sheet and said, hey, can you beat this? And what kind of terms can I get? And I did that a few times and the price ended up being, you know, 40 grand less, and I got 100% financing on that equipment. And that's, so I always tell people, hey, even if you know who you're going to go with, go get some other quotes too, because you know, you might be able to skim a little off the top. And
that's, I would actually say that that's actually huge advice. And the truth is even myself, I did the exact same thing. When I ended up, honestly, as you know, from my podcast, I built my first laundromat. I bought Electrolux directly from Laundrolux because they didn't have distribution in the town. But originally I'd gone to one guy and he basically said, yeah, like I help you find a location. I help you do all this stuff. And I was like, oh, wow. I had no idea that there would be someone that would help me do all this stuff. And I didn't realize that all distributors basically do the exact same thing. I just thought that, oh man, I'm so lucky to find a guy that's actually going to help me from cradle to grave. But like you, he took massive advantage. And I probably admitted that I didn't look at anybody else. And what really actually spurred me was that my banker was like, I feel like these numbers are too high. We've done a laundromat like 2 years ago and it wasn't even close to this. So my banker actually flagged it and he's like, I think you really need to go get some other equipment. And that's when I Googled all the stuff and ended up meeting John Olson and all that different stuff. But the truth is like, I really think that's a massive point and you should definitely, I'm so glad you brought that up. And really that's awesome for the viewers to know, because I didn't know that the guy I was dealing with was such a shady person, just a horrible individual. Cause like he came off as generally wanting to help me, but he was really trying to take advantage. And I think that's excellent advice. I mean, even if you really do like the guy, I think that anybody looking to do a laundromat should just at least meet. Even if you like the first guy you meet, you should definitely go and meet other distributors.
Yeah.
So you got your equipment coming, you got your quotes and everything else. So what happens from there then? So now you're retooling the laundromat?
Yeah. So, well, first of all, thanks for sharing that, because that makes me feel a little bit less bad about myself. I mean, yeah. So but it makes me feel bad about myself, but it also makes me feel a little bit sad for our industry. Cause there are, and I say this all the time, right? If you work with the best people, you're going to become one of the best. Right. And so, you know, I think it's huge advice for you, whether it's a broker, a distributor, whoever you're working with, even your employees, you know, if you want to be one of the best, you got to work with the best. So go meet multiple and find out who the best is. So, anyways, okay.
Some people lie.
Yeah. And especially when their income, especially when their income's tied up in it. Right. And I say that all the time too, like broker, distributor, the advice they give you is probably to help you, but it also benefits them. If you buy the laundromat or you buy the equipment. So, and not saying that that's a bad thing necessarily, but that's where the trust and verify comes in. And that's where having other voices speaking into that becomes very important, because as a transition, you know, the broker who sold me the laundromat, he sold me a bill of goods, and you know, the pro forma started super high, like 4 or 5 turns a day is where it started, and it went up from there. And this little laundromat, I mean, it's a little 1500 square foot laundromat, 1600, something like that. It was never going to do what that broker told me it was going to do. It never has done what that broker told me it was going to do. So it was going to retool. So open the doors. Well, actually got the keys. I remember the first day getting the keys, right? And they hand me, there was like a, you know, a bucket of keys that they gave me. And I, to this day, I have this like little cookie dough bucket that's full of keys that I don't know what most of them go to and have never touched them. But, and then I have a bag of keys that I have to dig through all the time looking for stuff. Got the keys. My wife and I took a picture of us holding the keys up, like, we bought a laundromat. And then we're like, oh man, like now what? Right. And we don't know what to do. And so we kind of like hung out for a little bit that day. And then we're like, I guess we don't really need to be here. I don't know. And it was weird, like leaving that first day, leaving the laundromat. It was all open and, you know, not knowing what we were getting into. So the next day I came back, and the first thing I saw, I was greeted by the very day after we bought it. I walked into the laundromat and there was a woman standing in there completely naked, washing all of her clothes. And I was like, what did I get myself into? Like, what is happening right now?
That's happened to every laundromat guy. I had a girl, she at least kept her bra and panties on, but she did. She stripped down and washed the clothes that she was wearing and was just sitting in the laundromat. Yeah. Like I said, she wasn't naked, but maybe that's maybe every laundromat has.
I don't know, man. So, yeah. So, but that was kind of, it was comical, and I was like, what is happening? But that was kind of like just a little glimpse into what I was in for. So we were putting in all new equipment. But what I didn't realize is, you know, retooling a store, rehabbing a store is way easier than retooling the reputation of a store. And the previous owner had just let this thing go, not just the equipment, like the older equipment and stuff. And I think this is important to know, and a little bit, you know, we'll get into what you were referring to earlier, but you know, you got to figure out how to retool the image of the store in the community, and just putting in new machines is not going to do it. And what I found is, you know, because this owner had let, and I just want to take a quick second to caveat this and say, this is not my experience is not a typical experience. And I've talked to a lot of owners now, and people have had, you know, rough goes into this, and almost all of us have dealt with issues with customers or homeless or vandal. Like we all deal with these issues, but some of the issues that I had to deal with early on are not typical. So I don't want to scare anybody with this. And it's not like this anymore at that laundromat. But you know, we went to work rehabbing and retooling the store by putting new equipment in. We redid the floors. We redid the folding tables. We took all the wood paneling off. We painted all that stuff. Looked like a completely new place, put lighting in, all that. but the one of the things, so the broker sold me on unrealistic turns per day for, you know, a highly competitive market that I was in. But the thing that I was actually more upset about was the broker sold me a dangerous store. It was a dangerous location. And, you know, I would come in and find needles all over the place. A gang had basically come in and made it their turf. And I didn't really realize that. So I was literally in a turf war, with a gang for a little while. And it was not safe. And it was, I remember going to the laundromat early on and I would sit in my car for like an hour, like trying to work up the nerve to go inside. Cause I didn't know what I was going to encounter, you know, when I walked inside, whether the place would be just trashed or there was somebody in there that I was going to have a confrontation with. And I'm not like a confrontational, I wasn't like a confrontational person at the time. And I've grown a lot thicker skin, I guess, thanks to the laundromat. There were a lot of verbal confrontations, but that also, you know, a couple of them had turned physical. And, that's a scary situation. You don't buy an investment or a business to get into a physical altercation, you know, you don't. And so, it was hard. And on top of all that, we were losing a ton of money every month when we were expecting to be making money every month. And it was just, it was exhausting and difficult and emotionally draining and financially draining. It was rough, man. It was real rough.
No, and I just feel like it's really important to share that because, I mean, I know you probably talk to a lot of people that don't have experience with it, but I actually remember being on the CLA and I can't remember who it was, but there was a gal that talked about, you know, that she didn't feel safe and she overheard some people on our camera saying they were going to harm her and she didn't want to go back to the store. And the truth is like, I mean, I have a laundromat that there's been people shot and killed at a pawn shop next to me and at a tobacco and liquor shop next to me. And there used to be a theater, an old rundown theater that there'd also been somebody shot right before I actually moved in to this building. So I just think it's important for people to know. And I've had physical confrontations in there and things have got out of hand. And I don't want to say that all laundromats are like that because I literally have one. I used to have two. I mean, on your podcast, I talked about when I owned in Council Bluffs, Iowa, where people would break in and people would watch him do it. And like that was another horrible area with just people just completely out of their mind on drugs. And like I said, you walk in there, wake someone up and they just start swinging at you. So my only point was with that is I've been listening to your podcast now a lot more since I did it. And I get something out of every single one of them. And I just thought that when you shared that with me, I think that's some things that's overlooked, right? I mean, if I have stores that are in military areas that are so safe, I mean, it's so crazy. I mean, I wouldn't worry about my kids playing in the being there at 2 a.m. But I've had two locations where I wouldn't take my kids after the dark. After it was dark, I'll go there after dark, but I wouldn't have my kids go there. And unfortunately, we do have gangs around some of these areas. So that's the only reason I was even saying that. I just think that some people. Only you know what you're capable of, right? Like, I don't mind altercation. Obviously, you've been trained to deal with altercation. But if you're someone that doesn't know how to, I wouldn't want someone to buy a store and be afraid to go there. And like you said, too, I think it does change you because I've never been afraid of confrontation, but I never really got physical with people. I'm now way more prone to get physical with people than I've ever been just because these situations do arise in some of these areas. And it's not, and I want people to, and I think to your point, what you're trying to let people know is no one's going down there looking for an altercation. Sometimes the people you're facing have in their mind that there's going to be an altercation. It's not your choice to make. You just have to defend yourself. Like, you didn't get aggressive with them. They're getting aggressive with you.
I just want to stress one more time, like this is very location dependent, right? This does not have to be your experience with laundromats, and I wouldn't wish that on anybody. And in fact, this location now, you know, you know, I'm just going to say it, man. Now that I've cleaned out these gangs with my bare hands and my, you know, my straight muscle and, you know, no, but seriously, now that has been taken care of, I mean, I bring my kids there and it's not, and this was a long time ago now too. This is, you know, 7 or so years ago. But you know, and I will say too, that a lot of these neighborhoods, not all of them, but a lot of these neighborhoods, the majority of the people are great, you know, and it's just a small group of people that make not just the experience bad at the laundromat, but the neighborhood too. It brings the whole neighborhood down. Right. And so
you're 100% right. And the neighborhood actually usually thinks, so we don't allow, I mean, obviously at L Street, we throw people out. We get the police involved when necessary. And the community appreciates that we actually care enough to, because like you said, they bring their children, they live there. And I shouldn't have actually even said, like, my wife doesn't like me to bring my kids on. I do take my kids down there, but I actually have that one ebbs and flows. It's like you said, like, if we don't watch it, they start kind of moving in, and then we got to really crack the whip and make sure that they're not hanging out, coming in there. And then it returns back to the status quo. But it seems like every 18 months, like, it seems like the waters are tested of that story again. Like, when we lay the force down and tell them we're not dealing with it, it goes away. But I feel like it is about 12 to 18 months, they start trying to creep back in. And if you let them, they'll come. You got to be pretty firm.
Yeah. And I think I think part of that is because people are locked up and they don't get the memo that there's a new sheriff in town. And so when they get out, they go right back to, and I do think that there's, you know, something to that. But, you know, all this to say, like, if you're buying in a rougher neighborhood, you just need to be aware of this. Like, this, there will be some conflict. Hopefully it won't ever be physical, you know, confrontation, but there, if you're buying in a rougher neighborhood, you're going to experience some conflict. So, you know, thinking ahead of time, how you want to deal with that, whether that's maybe hiring security to be there, you know, making sure you have camera system there and checking the cameras before you come, you know, to the mat. And if something's going down, like, I would call the cops all the time for everything. And my main reason wasn't necessarily to have the cops come take care of the issue. My main reason was to train the police that this is a trouble spot. So you need to be around a little bit more. And they'd come and they'd walk the laundromat a couple times a day. They'd drive through the parking lot, and it really helped. Right. And it didn't just help business, and it didn't really just help me, help the community. Right. Because the people who are coming to do their laundry are who, like, these moms or these ladies who don't feel safe when some of that stuff's going down in the laundromat. So when you come and clean it up, you know, it was hard, but it's a good feeling now, like, looking back at it, even though, you know, the business isn't what I thought it was going to be, even still, I feel pretty good about that business. And we'll get to this a little bit later, but I'm actually thinking about selling it for some reasons. And I'll talk about that a little bit later, but I'm having a really hard time selling it because I just put so much into it, and I feel like so good about where it was to where it is now. And I've made some great friends in that community, you know, people who I've gotten to know and I enjoy talking to when I see them there. And I like it, you know?
I think you said it perfectly earlier when you said, and it's a fact. I mean, it's a fact, even with my bad location, it is a very, very small amount of people that are causing the troubles. Like you said, I've always said, I think it's, I don't know, I changed a little bit on my stats, but 95% of the people I encounter on a day-to-day basis are wonderful, hardworking, great people that I'm glad to know. It's just the 5% that they want to wreck everything. But so that store is doing tremendous, though, it sounds like. It sounds like you turned it around and now you're maybe thinking about doing something with it.
Yeah.
Is that your only, you've got another store too.
I've got another one. So kind of even in the midst of, like, the financial debacle of that store, you know, cause I mean, early on we were losing like 1500, sometimes more than that a month. We went into it expecting to be making money, and that's just like a punch in the gut. You know, it's like, holy cow. You know, and that's what the broker told me, right? And I basically had to rely on that broker to give me all the information because I didn't really know anybody else in the industry and didn't really know where to turn to find somebody. And all of this, you know, is is part of my story of why I'm doing Laundromat Resource, why I'm doing the podcast, why I do the YouTube videos, why we have a little blog, why we're building the forums. I want to make sure that there's a free flow of information for people who already own businesses, you know, in this industry and who want to get in this industry. And that not just a free flow of information, but that there is an interconnected network. There's people to turn to. There's places to go when you have questions, you know, when there's stuff that comes up in your laundromat or when you're trying to figure out, you know, whether you should buy a laundromat or how to buy a laundromat, any of that stuff. I just want to make sure that there's information and a network to tap into to make sure, you know, you're successful when you get in the business and you continue to be successful, you know, moving forward too. So
do you know what the average turn per day is? It like 3.2 or it's like 3.2 or 3.5, right? That's the national average.
Yeah, somewhere in that range right there.
So for the viewers out there, you should always start your performer. I actually start them at 1.5 turns. I go 1.5, 2.5, 3.5, 4, 4.5, mm-hmm. 5. And that's usually, I mean, like I said, it's funny because like some people will just do like whole numbers, but I'm like, I'd put as many data points as I can get on there. Like I'll throw it out there. So I'm like, pie in the sky, 7 turns a day.
Yeah, right. I'm going to be rich.
But it's still fun to look at that number, even though it's probably not realistic. But
yeah, I will say some people are doing turns like 7 plus, you know, but I always tell people, hey, if you can run your turns per day at like maybe 2.5, sometimes 3, but like 2.5, and you feel okay about the returns you're getting at like 2.5 turns per day, then you're probably okay to move forward. If you need like 4 turns a day to, you know, be okay, you might want to have second thoughts because, yeah, I mean, 4 turns a day is totally doable in most locations. I just wouldn't want to count on that, you know, and having to do better than that.
That's excellent advice. I mean, that right there, I think is, you're right. I mean, I actually think that that's probably the best advice I heard. You should probably shoot for 2.5. You can make it on 2.5. You're probably safe.
Yeah,
it should be. So then you got all this going on. You might be selling the laundromat. You're running a successful podcast and it is successful. I know it's growing. So what are your future goals? Like you were kind of talking, there might be some changes ahead, huh?
Yeah. So, well, real quick, before we get there, cause I did buy another one in the middle of all, I started saying that and I got distracted, but in the middle of all that, I bought another one I found, and I wanted to bring this one up because, yeah, I get asked about this all the time, but this was I tell you guys, those of you guys who've had, I'm doing like 15 to 20 coaching calls a day, which is insanity right now, a week. I mean, I've been telling so many people lately, like you gotta go meet these brokers because by and large, unless you're finding your own deals and you're out there hustling, these are the people who are bringing you the deals and you got to get on their email list. You got to be in their, you know, top of mind when you're buying, because I met this broker, built this relationship, and he brought me a deal where it was, you know, real estate and laundromat in LA, and it was a seller finance deal. And that wouldn't have happened without, without that relationship with that broker. So you gotta be out there. You can't just passively look on websites only if you want to get some of the best opportunities. So I did buy that second one. It was kind of like hey, we paid a lot in money and emotional turmoil in lessons that we learned on this first one. So why not try to, you know, our options are cut our losses and try something different, or say, you know what, we paid for these lessons, so let's put them to good use. And so we decided to do that. And so we have 2 locations now. So I just wanted to put that out there. It was a seller finance deal. It was brought from a broker. It was not listed at that time. And again, I don't think that was a home run deal necessarily, but you know, it's tough to get real estate, you know, with a laundromat here in LA, especially right now. So
Well, something you said that I think is just great too, is that you mentioned that you just threw it out there, right? Don't just look on websites. And that's something that I really try to do myself, is I just tell people what I'm looking for. Like I just vocalize it to lots of people, broad swaths. I'm in the laundromat business. I'm trying to expand. And it's funny because you'll meet these people that you'll all of a sudden, like 6 months later, they're like, hey, you're looking for laundromats, right? And you're like, I know a guy that might be selling. You're like, really? I mean, I've had tons of people connect me with other people in the laundromat business just by being open to it and asking, just asking questions or telling people what I'm looking for. So I would say to the viewers, don't be afraid to just get lots of pads, throw down lots of footwork, like spread it out there, right? You never know who's going to get you into something, or who's cousins with somebody or aunt got a laundromat. I mean, and maybe they're getting ready to retire. Then you can be there before the brokers. That's the stuff you want.
That's what you really want.
Before the broker.
Yeah.
Like yeah. So we talked on your thing, and I totally random to talk about me, but I am buying the laundromat. Like I told you, there's two that I would buy in Omaha. I just made a deal for it like last week. And like I said, there's 3 years I've been talking to these guys, and they told me no for 3 years. And just last week, one down. And hopefully the next one will be coming soon.
One to go. All right, yeah. Nancy. But that's like proof, you know, it's like, I don't know. I tell people it's so funny because I talk to people all the time, right? And they want to just, you know, while they're watching TV at night and do this, like totally do this. There's nothing wrong with this. It just can't only be this if you want the best deals out there. You know, they want to watch TV and browse the internet and they want something to fall in their lap. And it could happen that way, but you know, you don't want to, you're not likely, and you don't want to count on that, right? It's like you could win the lottery, but if that's your main wealth building goal, you're probably not going to be wealthy, right? Like
that's going to be a little bit of a long shot.
Yeah. So you need to make some other plans in order to, you know, grow and to get, yeah, and get the deals.
The door.
and get the deals.
I'm actually at my laundromat. So.
Yeah, I know. It's funny. I don't know. You know, for those of you listening on the podcast, he's got his like security system, you know, behind him, so I can spy on his laundromat while he's
chatting. I just opened this 2 days, so this is gonna. I was telling Jordan before that this will be an office for me, like one of my offices. But right now, I was actually showing him like I only have this wall right now. Because this is the only wall that doesn't have just junk and piles of tools and everything that we've used in all this laundromat.
A lot of work going on over there right now.
So this is the staged wall.
Yeah.
Mostly clean.
all right. So you asked about like goals going forward.
Yeah. And
I have a lot of goals. So I'll tell you a little bit about my laundromat goals and maybe some of the laundromat resource goals kind of going forward too.
That'd be awesome.
Because I'm just... You know, not to make fun of myself, but I am pumped about what is coming up for this year.
I just love that.
I know. Well, it's funny. I had a coaching call yesterday and somebody was like, I'm pumped to be talking to you. And I'm like, you punk. Like, it's funny. Yeah. So, I mean, laundromat wise. So I mentioned that I might be selling, one, possibly both of my laundromats, but probably at least one this year. But for a couple of good reasons. Number one is, I mean, first of all, I love what's happening with Laundromat Resource right now. It's, been a ton of fun for me, making the podcast, doing YouTube videos, working on, you know, the website. There's some huge, well, what I consider huge projects coming up, with Laundromat Resource that I'm like super excited about. And I want to just continue to help, you know, this industry grow and get better and, you know, elevate this industry. I think there's a lot of cool things happening with a lot of these top-notch owners, which by the way, I would not necessarily consider myself a top-notch owner. Like I think that I've learned a lot of really great lessons, but you know, just through talking to people on the podcast and stuff, I've learned a ton myself. And, yeah. So, I'm excited about a lot of that stuff, but,
and it's taken off, right? Didn't I talk to you like a couple of weeks ago and more people are starting to know about hasn't it been taken off or no, am I wrong on that?
You talking about the podcast?
Yeah. The podcast.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, yeah, this is already, you know, we're a few days from the end of January when we're recording this and, you know, this is already significantly the biggest month of the podcast here. We're coming up on 20,000 downloads. Yeah, I mean, it's a laundromat podcast. Like the 20,000 downloads is like, I don't know.
in like 8 or 9 months or whatever is crazy for me. Well, but,
and I told you, I've been doing a lot of the podcast too. And I feel like I really know a lot about the laundry industry, but like I said, I get something every time I listen to one. And like I said, I've been here, like sleeping here. Like, I mean, actually the install was easy, but this is the first time I ever installed a CCI stuff. And I mean, I have done and redone. It's all working right now, knock on wood right now. But so I've had a lot of time just connecting the same wires 1,000 times in machines, just repetitive stuff. So I've been listening to the podcast and they're great. Like I said, I mean, I think I've gotten probably through 20 of them now. So, I mean, I love that you're doing this. And like I said, I didn't know I would get anything from them, but I absolutely do. And like I said, that's why I actually even, you would put that thing on Facebook. I do really believe people want to know your story. I mean, I'm very fascinated that you put this together and you're doing this just, you're just doing it to help people. I mean, it makes sense because I didn't realize that you had a pastoral background, but I mean, it's just in your blood and it's in your nature to help people. And that's awesome.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it.
You love, really love it. Yeah. That's so funny. Cause I really didn't realize that I said that all the time until you started saying that today. That's awesome. That's awesome. I love it.
It is a great, and I just love it. I do like that. It's positive too. Cause so many things now, like people want to just put negative stuff on. And like I said, yours are always upbeat. It's always a positive thing. Like it's always very supportive. And I feel like you really do root for people. And like I said, it's great. I mean, it's like a thing that you're not going to listen to a longer podcast and feel bad about your day, right? You're not going to get like slumped down. It's like, good. It's happy. It's nice.
Unless you hear my story and you're depressed because you're like, oh man.
I'm not. I mean, I just thought, and I know we did a little bit of dark side with that, but I think that's important just for the fact that every business has its trials and its tribulations. And I do think that probably doesn't get brought up enough, but I don't, like, let's say that the roles were reversed and I was not running laundromats and my wife was. I think that my wife would really struggle to run a location like my South Omaha location.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's possible too that people would like try to like catch her leaving and jump her and get money or I don't know. I mean, I just feel like there's a lot of people, I've watched a lot of people doing like these drifts inside the laundromat and they work in teams, right? Like you're dealing with one person, but there's usually two people somewhere. I mean, they do like these con artists, they work in teams and people don't realize that. They think that they're only dealing with the person in front of them, but they're not. Mm-hmm. So it's like sleight of hand stuff. So, I mean, that's the only reason I wanted to focus on that a little bit, because I just feel like that doesn't get brought up enough, that location is extremely important on building a laundromat and its success. But location also has a little bit to do with what you are willing to do yourself, like, and put up with on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Because not every location is going to have the warm fuzzies all the time.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Hold on. My podcast. So let's get back to you.
Sorry. Yeah.
So what's the future with laundromats?
So getting back to that is, you know, I probably will sell one here pretty soon, maybe both this year. I'm not sure, but, couple of reasons. So I'm loving Laundromat Resource. I want to devote more time to Laundromat Resource because I just love it a lot. But the other kind of bigger reason is, and I already kind of alluded to this, I would not necessarily consider myself a top operator. It's just not my skill set, or it's just not what I'm like super excited about necessarily. But with that said, one of the things that I went out and did is got together with a couple other guys, one of which who I would consider a top operator and another one who's pretty connected in the industry. And we basically put together a group to go out to try to go after some bigger deals with some real estate and some bigger laundromats. So whether that's finding, you know, a strip center or whatever, that's, you know, up for sale that we can, you know, that maybe has a laundromat in it that we can kind of, you know, retool and get running, you know, top notch and bring in some more income and maybe even increase the rent, thereby increasing the value of that property. Then we can kind of decide what we're doing with the laundromat, keeping it or selling it or whatever, or finding a strip center for sale that would be a good location for a laundromat and putting one in. And I think right now, especially laundromats, having a laundromat in your real estate strip center, especially right now, is super valuable. And I think one of the things that came out with COVID is that, hey, laundromats by and large stayed open the entire time and kept paying rent, even if it was a reduced rate for a little bit, kept paying rent, kept serving the community. And that's super valuable for real estate. So having real estate with a laundromat in it, especially one that's being run, you know, well, is super valuable both for the laundromat and for the real estate. So we're going out trying to find some deals. And we're partnering with investors to go out and get some bigger stuff. And we're getting really excited about that. And you know, if anybody out there is interested in kind of checking out what we're doing, diligencecapitalinvestments.com, feel free to check that out. And I'll put a link. I mean, I'll have the host put a link.
I'll get right on that.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I got to get my assistant to try and help me. Maybe I'll call Dusty.
He's yeah. Right.
Yeah. Do I have a sound guy?
Yeah. yeah. But I mean, I'm really excited about that. Just because I'm ready to be doing some bigger stuff. And I love, despite kind of my entrance into the business, I really do believe in my wife's original vision, you know, which is, you know, laundromats can bring in a great income and you don't always have to be at your laundromat, you know, in order for it to be making money. So, I love that. And I think it's a great wealth building. I've talked about, the wealth, what I call the wealth tripod, which is, you know, cash flow, equity, and tax advantages. And I think laundromats, especially when you partner them with real estate, hit all three of those incredibly well and can really accelerate your wealth. So whether that's, you know, through investing yourself in those, or, you know, through a group like we're putting together, could be awesome. So
I actually think that's extremely fascinating. And so you guys would purchase the land and put a laundromat possibly in there, and you would manage the laundromat, or you would try to sell it to somebody else to manage and then just increase the value and collect the rents?
Both. I mean, I think it'll depend. It'll be a deal by deal basis, basically. So what we'll do is we'll go out and find deals. We have a pretty big network. I don't know. I mean, we'll probably start here in Southern California, but, you know, figuring out the management piece, you know, like I said, I'm partnering with, you know, somebody who I think would be considered a top operator. And so, you know, figuring out that management piece, one of the things we've been kicking around is maybe starting a management company in order to manage our assets and, you know, have it available for other people who maybe want to be a little more passive in their laundromats, to be able to utilize the company too. But putting together a management company that has, you know, the systems in place. And as we build them out, you know, we'll incorporate systems in them to make them, you know, easy to manage, easy to track, you know, easy to report, you know, to investors, those kinds of things. So some of them we may hold, some of them we may hold for a period of time and then sell. Some of them we may flip because we just want the real estate. I think it'll be a deal by deal basis. So when we find deals, we'll probably put a package together and, you know, send that out to investors to see what gauge the interest in it.
I think there's a lot of people having success like in hotels or at least pre-COVID in storage units. It sounds like I found that there's several people that'll do. So, I mean, I guess I don't know why it wouldn't work for laundromats. I mean, a hotel has a lot more moving parts than a laundromat. So actually that's actually very fascinating. I haven't really heard of many people. I mean, people are doing the franchise thing, but that's not really what this is.
Yeah. And this is more, my guess, I don't know the answer to why more people aren't doing it. Maybe we'll find out down the line, but I don't think so. Like, I don't know. It all really makes sense to me. And what I love about it is the amount of value you can create in the real estate by having a laundromat operating at its optimal performance. Like it really creates a lot of value for that real estate to build a lot of equity really fast. But I would guess the reason it's not done more is because of that management piece. And just fairly recently is when I would say technology is caught up to a point to where a lot of those management questions can be answered. You know, the reporting, accountability is there now, you know, with different card systems or payment systems that have reporting, you know, even like things such as like refunding customers, you can do that remotely now through technology. You know, so I just think that there's a lot of things in place now that make it doable to have a management company for laundromats. And so, you know, acquiring, you know, 10 or a dozen or 20 or 50 or whatever laundromats. I mean, we know Luke Williford, who, you know, will eventually own every laundromat in the world. I'm convinced, you know, he's got, I don't know how many now, I don't know, 80 or
40,
something.
Like 41. Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
Maybe if he bought one today, it might be pretty
expensive. I know. That's what I'm saying. He's probably buying a couple a day now. I don't know.
If I buy one, he buys three. So I feel like, nope.
Yeah. He'll own yours eventually too.
I don't know if the viewers would like this, but honestly to me, like I actually almost went to Kansas City and because I thought that there was a need down there for laundromats. And I literally backed out because, I mean, it's like, I don't know, it was 2.5 hours, 3 hours. And I was like, I didn't want to have to be going there a lot. But right. I thought if I could get two or three, I could have a manager. So it's obvious to the viewers that I am not a person that you reached out to about this investment thing. But I actually hope it does work because, like I said, I personally even thought about trying to do it just on my own, not with a group of people. But like I said, I just didn't want to make myself miserable. So I honestly wish you luck. And if you are successful with it and you want to share any information with some other people looking to do the same, I would.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of my MO, right? Like I'm here. I think the way I think about all this stuff is like, dude, this is a big, big country. This is a big, big world. Like we have listeners all over, right? Like I've had vendors say, hey, you know, we just came on the podcast and we got clients in Italy and we got clients in Australia and we got, you know, like this is a big, big world. So there's plenty of room for everybody to be doing this. And if other people are doing this already, like we'd love to learn too. You know, what's working, but we feel like we have a pretty solid plan, you know, going forward. And we're pretty confident that it's going to be, like profitable, like really good.
I just think it's great that it's even out of the box. Like I said, I mean, I feel like so many people are going down this franchise model. And I mean, it's just, but like I said, this is a completely different thing. This is nice to see that you're like, not even just going down like the Me Too group, right? I mean, this is an innovative thing. It's cutting edge. Like people have been trying to franchise laundromats, I don't know, 50 years, 60 years. I have no idea. It's been a ton of time. And I don't know if anybody ever figured out the secret to that. But yeah, I love this. This is new. It's innovative. I've never heard of anybody doing this. So that is super exciting.
Yeah.
Super pumped to hear more about it in the future.
Yeah. Well, I'll be keeping you posted. And, again, man, if anybody's interested, go over to diligencecapitalinvesting.com and, you know, there'll be a little form over there. You know, while we're recording this, it's not there yet. But by the time this goes out, it'll be up there and, you know, get on that email list at least, and you'll be able to see kind of what's going on with it and check it out. So that's one of the things going on. There's so many things going on. Some of the stuff I'm like dying to like just blurt out right now, and we're just not quite ready yet. But another thing that I'm really excited about actually is I'm just a huge believer that we need more voices in this industry. You know, sharing information and educating each other. It's a big part of why not only that I'm doing the podcast, but that I'm doing it the way that I'm doing it. And probably the big reason you're doing it the way you're doing it, you know, your podcast today, right now, is just to have other people's voices and experience and wisdom and lessons to be shared. And I want to be doing more of that. So like we have a forum that's been starting to pick up a lot of steam on Laundromat Resource. Again, I'll put a link down. I mean, Peter, we'll put a link down below, or in the description or the bio or whatever. I want to really just kind of ramp that up. I want to help give voice to more owners who have things to share and things to teach, you know, whether that be whatever format that might be. And it could be, you know, written format in blog posts or, one of the things I'm really excited about, that I was planning on launching last year, but due to COVID stuff, I couldn't get my act together, but I am launching a publishing company for, it'll start out being a laundromat specific publishing company. And I'm looking to not only publish some books myself, but also to, you know, partner with other people who have books inside them that are going to help this industry. So that's one thing that'll be coming out this year that I can share about, and I'm very excited about. I think there's not a ton of, there are some books out there, and we got an author coming on in, you know, pretty soon here. And it'll be cool to talk to, you know, him about his book and his experience. But I think there just needs to be a lot more books. And I've been making a list of books and putting names by them. One of the reasons why I keep saying, like, hey, get active in the forums, you know, get, you know, reach out, put, like you were saying earlier, like put yourself out there, because that's, you know, that's where we're looking for voices for this industry. You know, come write blog posts, you know, make videos when you're doing stuff, and let's share those things. 'Cause that's where we're looking when we're looking for things like, you know, who can write the, who's the best one to write this book for this industry. That's where we want to be looking. So, but we're looking to, you know, give more voice to more people in this industry. And I think it'll just elevate all of us. Rising tide raises all boats.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and I'm being completely sincere. Like, I actually think that's what you just told me. Obviously, we talked before this. I had no idea you were going to mention this. And I actually am excited. I truly, no pen, no jokes. Like, I'm actually excited to be a part of that, because I think that that could be amazing. And in all honesty, I mean, if I can't find more laundromats to build, I'll probably be one of your investors. I really think that that is awesome, Jordan. I seriously think that's a way for people to get into business, like a safety net. And I just on like initial thought on that, I think it'll be truly successful. And I mean, congratulations for thinking that up and doing it. Like I said, I love that you actually do stuff, right? I mean, you probably consulted with some people and you just took the steps, you started making the progress and you jumped with it. And I do, there's no reason there shouldn't be. I mean, there's other industries that do it. Why isn't this one ever done? And like you said, the technology's there. You have a cart system, you can know exactly where you could be in Miami, Florida, and someone in Omaha, Nebraska, you know exactly went through your laundromat that day. Exactly.
Yeah. Or like Thomas Landenberger, who's in Italy and has his laundromat in Florida, and he can track it all, right? Like, it doesn't matter where you are in the world anymore.
It makes me going to want to just pull up LinkedIn and find out what buildings are in Kansas City right now.
Yeah.
Like right now, like stop looking in Omaha.
Get them.
Maybe I just go to Kansas.
Let's just end this interview right now and get on it. but thank you. I appreciate you saying that.
But sincerely, and I mean, that is a tremendous idea. And like, this is the why I've been listening to these podcasts. Like, I love this.
Yeah.
So anyway,
well, hold on real quick, because I want to say one other thing. None of this, and this goes back to a point that you made earlier, like none of this happens unless I had put myself out there, right? And like, just started the podcast, started making YouTube videos. And when you were saying like, let people know about what you're looking for, let people know about what you're doing. Well, I wasn't necessarily looking for this, but these opportunities, like this Diligence Capital Investments group, these are people that I met through the podcast. Like, you'll know at least one of the guys from the podcast.
I think I probably do know one.
Yeah. So
I'm not sure, but I mean, obviously you didn't say his name, so I'm not going to.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And it'll be on the website. I mean, we're being transparent about everything, but I just, you know,
like I said, it's not rolled out. I get why you're still putting it together. I mean, I get what you're doing. I mean, right. You're still working probably out the finer details. I get it.
Yep. But we're right there and we're ready to go. But all that to say, like, that's why I keep encouraging you, like, hey, get over on the forums, asking questions, answering questions, helping people out, start, you know, put yourself out there and opportunities open up, right? If you have your eyes open, if you're networking, if you're meeting with people, if you're helping people, opportunities open up. And, you know, this is not necessarily about like a pitch for like Diligence Capital Investments or anything. This is like an example of,
it should be though. I'm serious. Like, this is a good idea.
Thank you. Like, but it's also, okay,
you put everybody else pitch stuff. Like, I know I want you to pitch your product.
Okay. It's a pitch, but also it's an example, right? Like, put yourself out there and watch what opportunities come up. So, you know, come write some blog posts and see, like, laundromatresource.com right now is getting tens of thousands of page views every single month. It grew 100% in January, 114% in January from December. And December was our biggest month. It's going like gangbusters right now. And when you start putting your voice out there, people are going to see your stuff. They're going to be appreciative of what you're putting out there. You're going to make a name for yourself in the industry, just as someone who not only just knows what they're talking about, but somebody who wants to help other people succeed. And guess what? People like it when you want to help them succeed, right? They want to do business with you. They want to, you know, associate with you, and opportunities open up. So I'm just excited. I'm pumped about this. And there's some other stuff I'm like dying to share, a couple of other things, but that'll come here in the near future. And I just look forward to that. So anyways, that was a long answer to what
are, a great answer, though.
Are some goals great coming
answer.
Up. So
I am so grateful to be a part of this. This could be like a big, big thing in 10 years. And I am the podcast host that launched it.
That's right, man. That's right. You are.
So that transitions perfectly to a little thing that I like to call down to business.
Let's get down to business. Over and out.
So you're
nailing it.
Where are your current laundromats located that you may not own soon?
Yeah. Yeah, may or may not. I just, you know, who knows, man.
It's a love hate relationship with some of these.
That's right. So one of them's in Montebello. I mentioned that already. Montebello on the border, East LA. The other one is in South Central LA, you know, over where all the 90s rappers were from, the West Coast rappers. South Central, man, in the hood, right next to Compton, Inglewood. Yeah.
So. I think you actually answered my next question. So you have two laundromats and you own the real estate on one.
I own the real estate on one. I have another kind of investment property also. And through Diligence Capital Investments, looking to own some more. So there's another little plug for it.
How many other things are you into? Like, I mean, you're like a true entrepreneur. Like I would say a lot of people probably getting into this business are. Do you have other things that you're working on currently that you can talk about? Or is it just mostly... Yeah.
Well, so those are the majority. I guess those are my hard assets. I have the two laundromats and a couple of investment properties. Legitimately, Laundromat Resource is a business and it's an asset. I do some commercial real estate as an agent broker and also laundromat. I help sell laundromats. So, and in fact, one of the things with like Diligent Investments is like, one of the things that we've been doing with Laundromat Resource that's been really cool is that we are helping people find brokers. And, you know, now we're at a point where it's like, hey, we might buy your laundromat from you. So like, if you're looking to sell a laundromat, like, I don't know, throw it out there. And if it fits kind of what we're looking for, we might buy it from you. But even if we don't, number one,
anywhere in the US?
Anywhere. And, yep. So number one, if it doesn't fit what we're looking for, that's like, can no.
Link something to this podcast. So where someone does want to sell their laundromat, they can reach out.
Yeah. I'll link it. I link it every week, but I'll link it. I mean, I'll have you link it. Yeah. your people, will.
Down guy.
They're on it. Yeah, it's nice to have a team over there, man. It takes me forever to put all this stuff together. You got this huge, massive team.
I actually have a guy, but he's in Kearney, Nebraska, which is like 4 hours away today. And I was going to have him try to set me up. Everybody always has mics and I don't know how the computer thing works, but he was actually going to come to town. He was going to be in Omaha yesterday. I was going to have him set up something, but because I mean, everybody's got the headphones sometimes, and I actually thought the audio on the phone was good, but I don't know how the computer will be. I've never.
Yeah, it sounds good. It sounds good.
I was actually trying to do this for real, but
yeah,
I don't know how to do it without these people.
You know, it's your first one, and the important thing is that you got out there and you did it, and you'll just get better along the way. You know, good. So yeah. That's the way you go.
I'm actually way more nervous doing this than when I was. In your spot.
Oh man, you're doing awesome. So one of the things that we do too is, you know, for people who are interested in selling their laundromats, no matter where they are, you know, if they don't fit our criteria to buy, we'll help people find really good brokers. And I think, you know, based off my experience and the experience of a lot of my coaching clients that I've, you know, had, it's so important to have a good broker that you're working with to get your laundromat, you know, in tip-top shape in order to sell, and also to get it sold quickly for a good price. And so we help people, you know, nationwide find good brokers to work with kind of no matter where you're at. So if you're looking to sell, you know, it's laundromatresource.com/sell and we'll help you out there. And I'll have Peter's people link it in the description or the show notes. So
how long have you actually even been doing this? Like not too long. The podcast is relatively.
So I started in December of 2019. So as we're talking right now, it's been like a year and a month. And it's just been blowing me away for the laundromat resource stuff. The laundromats I've owned for like 7 and 5.5 years.
How long was it, do you think, before like you really felt good about? Because I think that's another thing that people always ask me, and I never know. I've had them ramp up fast and then ramp up slow. Your first laundromat, where you really felt like maybe I'm going to do another one of these. Like, how long was that?
Well, I'm not smart, man. So it was not very long.
That's the thing. Well, I think it's a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, it was not very long. And again, it kind of came down for me. Like, I paid a lot of money to learn these lessons. Let's put them to use. But I think when we bought our second one, we were still losing money on our first one. And I was like, well, maybe the second one will kind of make up for the loss of the first one.
Did it?
Well, we hit a little bit of a rocky patch early on that one, but then eventually it kind of leveled out. So it was better.
Did you change the names on them?
What's that?
Did you ever change the names on the laundries, or did you keep the names that they were?
You know what I did not do? I didn't do a lot of the things that I tell people to do now. And the reason I tell people to do them now is because I realize now how important it is and how much better it would have been for me. So, you know, having like a solid website, having like a good brand and a good name, having like new signage when you take over a store that just lets people on the outside know. You know, you can remodel the whole inside of the store, but if nobody on the outside knows that you did it and it's going to be any different, it's not really going to help you out all that much.
Right.
You know, so fixing stuff out on the outside just to let people know, like, hey, we're taking care of this place. I can't remember who now, and apologize to whoever the guest was that said this, but one of the great things somebody said was, every year, do something to show your customers that you are reinvesting in your business, big or small, whether it's paint or putting in new machines. Like, doesn't matter, but do something, you know, plant some plants or something to show customers you're reinvesting. I think that's awesome. Awesome advice.
I feel like I definitely listen to that podcast too, but I can't think of who said it either.
Yeah. Somebody really, really smart and probably like really good looking, and I'm just going to make them feel good, 'cause I forgot who it was. So I didn't do any of that stuff. My one laundromat didn't even have a website until like a year ago, you know, and now we're building, you know, our marketing company builds websites constantly now, and for laundromat owners and other businesses, but laundromat owners in particular, and we're doing, you know, SEO stuff, but I didn't do any of that stuff for myself early on. I didn't know, man.
Because of your podcast, I am building websites. So I had an Anytime Laundry, like anytimecleanlaundry.com. I don't know. I have a website, right, that I had Anytime Laundry, but not every laundromat had a website. And I didn't even know that was a really important thing. So I've actually now, each laundromat is getting their own website.
Are they all the same brand, all yours?
So mine are all Anytime Laundry now, but when I would buy a laundromat that I didn't feel...
You didn't want it to be part of the brand?
Right. Like I purposely didn't brand all of them. And I remember I had an employee that she was my manager at the time. And she still worked for me. She just didn't like being a manager, so she went back to the attendant. But anyway, she had said that she thought I should call the Council of Excellence Anytime Laundry because she thought it would help grow the business there. And I was like, I just don't want it.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be associated because like I said, that one was too small to attend and all mine are attended. And I couldn't justify attending it. So I didn't, that was my main reason. I didn't want to call it that. I mean, if I could have had enough revenue to attend it and to try and grow it that way, I would have, but it was just too small. But again, like you said, we all learn from these mistakes. And like, I love that you said that you learned from the mistakes. And I mean, you jumped in, you just got to start pulling different levers and see what works and what doesn't. And I mean, everybody that you say is an expert or a veteran in this industry, I mean, even people that think I'm a veteran in this industry, I didn't know it from day one. I made lots of mistakes to get to today. And I think that's important that people realize that. I mean, nobody starts out just knocking homers out of the park every single decision they make. And then, like, I mean, we've even talked about the signage thing with mine. I screwed up the signage on my first one. Don't beat yourself up with it. Just learn from your mistakes.
Yep. I think that's important. And too, like, man, I always want to, when I'm looking to partner with people or invest with people or any of that stuff, I'm looking for people who made a ton of mistakes, because the people who haven't made mistakes yet, you don't know how they're going to respond in adversity when stuff goes bad. You don't, I mean, when somebody's been through the ringer and they're still standing, then you're like, okay, you know, like, sure, I can respect that. And, you know, let's do it, you know. But when you haven't gone through something, you just don't know, right? It's a big unknown for me. So
I talked about the unattended tenant. Do you run your laundromats attended, or do you run unattended?
I have one of each. So that Montebello one that was trouble, you probably guessed, is unattended. Again, like yours, it's just a little too small. I think that there's potential actually in that one. It's not, I think you probably could do some like drop off service and probably even some pickup and delivery out of there if you wanted to. But and in fact, people ask me this all the time, because I had talked about doing pickup and delivery, and I have been doing a little bit, but I haven't really made a big push on that. And the reason was Laundromat Resource kind of just started taking off in a way that I did not expect, and I started seeing some of these other opportunities that were out there, and I started weighing, like, if I'm going to do the pickup and delivery, I got to go all in on the pickup and delivery. Right. And if I'm going to do laundromat
experience, you do, like, you can't dip a toe in.
Yeah. And if I'm going to do Laundromat Resource, I got to go all in. And I just was weighing my options back and forth, and I kept going back and forth. And I was like, you know what? I really love what's happening with Laundromat Resource, and I love, like, doing this kind of thing, you know, with people like you and all these other guests we've had. And I love doing, you know, teaching people, coaching call, all that stuff. Like, I think I'm going to go all in with the Laundromat Resource. And so we do a little bit of pickup and delivery, but not very much. So that one, I think that there is actually more potential. In the city it's in, the direct neighborhood is a lower income neighborhood, but around it is, I think, a pretty good area for pickup and delivery. So there's room to grow there. I forget what the question. Oh, it's unattended. Yeah. So it's unattended. My other one is attended full time. So whenever we're open, somebody's there.
I felt like when we reversed, like, I did the same thing. Like, you go down these rabbit holes. And I know. like where do we start? What are we talking about?
I know. Well, I try to shut my mouth usually. And then when I get talking, man, it just.
That's what I've been trying to do. I'm like, why am I keep talking? Like, I'm asking the questions. I'm not a contributor. Yeah.
It's hard.
So are you coining these? You don't do card system, do you? Or do you do
a
card
system? Oh, man. I have coin. Like I said, man, if I was to start over now from scratch, like, well, for example, with Diligence Capital Investments, throwing it in there, but like, we'll do card system because it just makes a lot more sense, you know, from a management perspective, obviously, but also I love, like, what it can do for customers. Like, you can do a lot of promotions, you can do, you know, just a lot of loyalty stuff. You gather, you know, you're gathering data on your customers, but you're also, you know, gathering ways to communicate with them through email marketing, through, you know, which we do, like, with the marketing company now, we do email marketing and retargeting ads and text message marketing, like, all that stuff. You have that ability to do that when you have a card system. That's really hard to do that with the coin system. But the downside is that, you know, you got to buy those card systems, generally speaking, and, you know, they're expensive. And when you buy your laundromat horribly wrong from the get-go, it's hard to, you know, hard to be able to pay that. So,
well, I'm not gonna lie to you, after doing this CCI thing with the quarter coin and dollar coin and just getting all of that to work, I seriously am considering on this next one going card only.
Yeah,
just because, I mean, I'm trying to incorporate two technologies together, and, like, it even matters what drop you have. Like, I use IMINEC drop, so, like, I have to use a different cord. So I'm actually on, I might be jumping aboard this card deal. Like I actually, I mean, it's fascinating to say that. So you're going to do that for sure. Like if you do this investment thing, you've like already made the decision. We're card people.
Listen, I'm always open to, you know, what makes sense for the specific situation. So I would never say 100% we would always do that, but I think we would definitely lean towards that. Yep. And a big part of the reason is, you know, transparency and accountability is huge, especially when you're partnering with people and there's money involved and probably significant sums of money. Yep. You know, you just want there to be a lot of transparency and accountability. And so you want to be able to give hard numbers to investors and say, here's exactly where the money's coming from. Here's exactly where it's going. And it's just so much easier to do that with a card system. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like I said, it makes sense. And I've not even noticed, like, so I even mentioned some friends I have in Iowa, like he literally is doing card system right now. It's like his temp laundromat. He said, he just sticking checking with coins. He's like, for no other reason. Like, I think he's just doing it because it's getting to be unmanageable with the amount of coins in the store. Mm-hmm. So, and that's probably why the Wolfords came up with their, Freedom by IPS. Is that what this is called?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So they came up with one, their own, because they probably the same thing, just tired of the only coin. Wow. I think when you get that many 40, wow.
Yeah. That's a nightmare.
Sucked in four is a tough.
Yeah. I'm over it with two laundromats, man. They're not even like great laundromats, you know, like, geez.
So what have you been in your laundromats at in California?
Yeah.
The best segue.
Yeah, no, you have been, I'm cracking up because you have been listening to the podcast a lot lately because you're saying exactly, it's just funny. Yeah.
Well, I don't know how you segue so well. And I'm like,
no, you're killing it, dude. It's awesome.
Like, how much do I contribute? How much do I ask? Where do I
just, when you hear yourself back and it's just kind of funny, right? Like you're kind of, right. I'm hearing myself back through you and it's just kind of funny. Yeah. That's what I'm laughing at. So right now my vend prices are, generally speaking, a quarter more than the poundage. So like a 30 pound is like 325.
Oh, wow.
425. Yeah. So
is that, how do you compare to your competition out there at those prices?
Oh, higher end.
Are you really?
Yeah. I don't understand how people, like my competitors, I don't understand how they can make a profit. Like I don't get it. So I don't know, but yeah,
work in the laundry. Like I know some people, like their whole family works in laundry. They do the fluff and fold. Is that why how they're doing it with those prices?
You almost can't have
staff with those prices, can you?
What's that?
I don't know how you would have staff with those prices.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, yeah, I don't know. It's tough, but it's like super competitive, right? There's like, I don't know how many laundromats are within a mile. There's probably 6 or 7 laundromats within a mile radius of like my South LA one. It's just super competitive. And so, you know, even like I'm all about like, and one of the big takeaways for me from just doing this podcast and listening to who I would consider top operators, which again, you know, I'm trying to get better, but I would not put myself in that category. But one of the things that's pretty consistent is compete on value, not on price.
Right.
And try to be, you know, on the higher end of your competition, if not the top end VIN price wise. And so trying to do that, but it's hard when they're like, we had a new one come in near my South LA one. And literally what they did is they came into my laundromat at some point and wrote down all my prices and just went a quarter underneath for all. And I was like, okay, well that's like, I'm sure that's what they're doing for their grand opening. And eventually they'll raise their prices, but they haven't. It's been like a few years and they haven't raised their prices. So
I know I see that all the time here. Like there's people that haven't raised their prices since I've been in this business. And I mean, the water bills go up. Why? I just don't get it. I do not understand that. I never will understand that. I mean, man, that's brutal though. That is a brutal. I mean, I can't imagine having, You said eight within a mile?
There's six. One, two. Yeah, I think there's six.
Six. I mean, I complain because I got eight within 3 miles. When you're like 1 mile, that's nuts.
Yeah, it's crazy. But, you know, I mean, it's like that in a lot of urban, you know, places. Like, you know, you're going to find similar things in New York. You're going to find similar things in Chicago. You know, even maybe some of the, well, in Texas is a little more spread out. Florida is a little more spread out. But, you know, in some of the metros, it can get really competitive. And, you know.
Yeah, no, I remember the guys in New York on the forum saying about like having two laundromats on the same street. Like the same block. Like,
oh yeah. Like there's laundromats like facing each other, you know, like across the street from each other. And they're just facing, like, it's craziness, man.
No. So how many hours a week are you spending in your laundromats?
It's an interesting question, 'cause it kind of ebbs and flows. And in fact, you know, so normally on a normal week, I'm spending probably more time in the car going to and from the laundromats, you know, 'cause I'm here in LA, than I spend at the laundromats. But usually a couple hours, you know, maybe like 3 or 4 hours a week, literally or physically at the locations. But my unattended one, since the COVID thing, I've had a lot of issues trying to get an attendant to just come clean, not even an attendant, but just somebody to come clean. And especially when they were making more money to not work than they would make to come, you know, do work, just through unemployment. And it was tough. So I've had times where I've had to just go in and clean for, you know, periods of time because I couldn't find somebody. And when that's the case, then it usually take me a couple hours a day to clean, take me, you know, I could go at off traffic hours, which is nice, but, you know, 35 minutes there, clean for a couple hours, 30, that adds up real fast. And I tell people all the time, like, you know, try to have, if you're running an unattended in particular, but even an attended laundromat, like try to have some backups. I was doing a coaching call and I told, you know, somebody's asking me, should I try to hire one attendant? Should I try to hire two attendants and do like split shifts? 'Cause they were trying to do split shifts like in the morning and in the evening to try to like launch their wash, dry, fold. And so we were kind of talking about that. And I was like, well, if you're going to do split shifts, I would try to hire three and split it between the three, because if you do split shifts and you have two and one of them doesn't show or can't make it or quits without warning, you know, you only have one person to fill in. But if you have three and they're splitting those shifts between the three of them, it's a little easier to maneuver and it can buy you a little more time to find a new employee, right? And the same, like if you have a cleaner, try to have a substitute or a backup or something. So when they quit unexpectedly or they whatever, you don't have to go clean your laundromat. And I had this funny, actually with one of the partners of the Diligence Capital Investments, we were chatting one night and I was like sweeping up the floor at my laundromat and they were both, you know, at their houses, you know, drinking a glass of wine or whatever. And I was like, yeah, I'm over here like sweeping or whatever. And, one of the guys was like, he's like, have fun enjoying your financial freedom through laundromat ownership. 'Cause I say that all the time. Right. And I was like, you jerk, I'm over here sweeping, you know, my freedom over here. But
I've had people make fun of me though. And I say, well, at least I'm making money while you're sleeping. I'm making money while I'm sleeping. So yeah, whatever.
I know. And it is, I mean, it's part of the business, right? Like it's a business and, you know, and it's your business. So if stuff goes wrong, like you got to do what you got to do to keep your business going. Right. And so sometimes that means you got to go clean, you know, sweep the floor, you know, or wipe down the machines. And that is, it just is what it is. And, you know, for me, you know, obviously that's not the ideal situation, but it's not horrible.
Well, I mean, I was telling you, like I usually spend 10, I spent 80 hours in my laundromat last week because I kept doing and redoing the, like I said, I've never done the CCI thing for a quarter coin and a dollar coin. And I had to literally redo it three times. Like I just installed it. It was wrong. We went back to everything else, did something else. It was wrong. Did it a third time. Finally got most of them working. So, I mean, it was just like, you want to talk about frustration, like doing the same task over and over and thinking you have it and then redoing it all. But like you said, who else is going to do it? I mean, I am my distributor. Like I am now a full, I did go ahead and do the full blown distributor thing. So mm-hmm. there's no one to call. It's me. And I don't even mean to talk bad about CCI. It's a great product. I've never done it. I've always had someone else do it. So the learning curve on it, like if I go do the next one, it'd be a lot faster, probably 3 or 4 days instead of a week and a half.
Yeah, exactly. It's part of the learning process.
Good drill bits that work really good at drilling fronts. I mean, like you said, we tried 4 or 5 different things and we found the right one. So that's probably a great time to move into a little segment I like to call Secret Sauce.
Listen up, it's the Secret Sauce.
So what's something that is working well for your business right now that owners can implement into their business to help them improve it?
Thanks. I like that you put it in quotes. Awesome question. First of all, I mean, you are just nailing this thing. I cannot.
You worked hard on that one. I thought about that one a lot.
Yeah. It's so hard to boil it down to one thing. And I'm realizing that now. So sorry to all the past guests who I've kind of put on the spot with this. But I guess, you know, one thing, you know, a lot of things have been shared already, but one thing I would say that is really working well for me is putting into practice, modeling some of the things that these, what I would consider top operators are doing. So trying to be, provide the most value to your cut, like always looking for how to, you know, make it easier to do laundry. I love one of the things Elizabeth Bricken Wilson said a couple episodes ago is she said, you know, laundromat is an extension of your customers' homes. And that really stuck with me. I was like, man, I never really thought about it like that, but how do I make it feel more like an extension of their homes, which makes it feel, you know, just a little easier to come do laundry and a little more enjoyable to come do laundry and a little bit, you know, more comfortable to come do laundry. And so I've been saying this at the end of episodes and probably people turn it off before I do my little thing at the end. But one of the things I really try to do for every podcast is find one thing that guests say that I can put into action. Right. And it kind of goes back into, you know, you can either just try to do things passively, listen to the podcast and absorb information, which is good, but much better is to absorb that information and at least put one thing into action every week. And that's really what I'm trying to do. So whether that's trying to make it, you know, more homey for my customers, or whether that's trying to be top of the market, you know, VIN prices, but also top of the market value for my customers, or whatever the case may be, there's been a ton of lessons that I've taken away from these guests, but it's really putting it into action is the secret sauce, I think.
So a serious question I have is, like, what do you use to determine what you think is a top operator? And the only reason I ask that is, I mean, I used to be on the CLA forums a lot and I used to be on different things. And there's a lot of people giving advice out there, but I always had in the back of my head, I'm like, is this somebody I should actually be taking advice from?
Right.
And that's why, I mean, I even talk about this sometimes, like on my own Facebook page, like Ben Gottlieb and Larry Inske used to have knockdown brutal fights on the CLA. And I know that some people hated that. They were like, people complained about it, like that we should be respectful. But in all seriousness, I got the opposite. I was brand new when those were going on. And I got the most out of those because you had two opposing views and you had two people articulating exactly why they had opposing views and doing a really good job. And I honestly appreciated that more. And that's why even on my Facebook group, the Laundromat Owners Only, people will ask, is this allowed? Like, you can attack anybody within reason. I mean, let's not be ridiculous, but
yeah.
Attack people's ideas, attack their thoughts. Like, I would say on our Facebook page, it's welcome. I mean, be respectful. Don't just attack someone like personally or whatever. But if you have an idea that they want to attack, I think you should pick it apart. I mean, let's discuss it. Let's find out what is the best way to operate. So truthfully, I do want to know sincerely, like, what do you base that on when you say top operators?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great question, first of all. And I think you're like nailing it head on because anybody can say anything, right? Especially online these days, you don't know who, you know, who's given what advice. But for me, first of all, the podcast gives a unique perspective because I'm interacting with somebody real time and I'm getting to really know them and I can ask them questions, interact with them. You know, if it's a forum post or something like that, it's a little easier to hide behind jargon or whatever, behind attacks or whatever. But for me, I'm looking at results, right? Because that's the key, you know, to everything is results. What results are they getting? You know, whether they have one laundromat, whether they have multiple laundromats in the business, in their business, the way they're doing their business, you know, what kind of results are they getting? And, you know, on top of that, I'm also looking at character, right? And because to me, character counts, and not to be like cheesy and cliche, but like,
you're absolutely right.
But yeah, but I want to take my advice from somebody with good character who's getting good results. And so when I am interacting with people, you know, on coaching calls, when I'm interacting with people on the podcast, or even in the forums and stuff, I'm looking for, you know, well, what kind of results are they getting? And are those the kind of results I want to get? And if so, then I probably want to, you know, learn something. I mean, I'm learning stuff from everybody, but I probably want to implement some of the things they're doing if I'm trying to get results similar to what they're getting. Right. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. And I think you hit it. I mean, you nailed it with the character. Like, I'll never forget. My dad always said, you get one name in this world, don't ruin it. Mm-hmm. Once you ruin it, I mean, you could spend 10 years building your name and you could ruin it in 5 minutes.
Yep. Happens all the time. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess I just was more asking for myself because I feel like there's been paths where I maybe was following somebody and their advice, and then I find out that they're running like a laundromat that's got four parking stalls. Well, there's one guy in particular, four parking stalls in the front. I won't mention names, but it's got like eight washers, eight dryers, and he's vending it like a dollar for a double load. And I'm like, I should not be taking any of this man's advice.
Yeah, right. Yeah. it's easy to sound like you know what you're talking about, especially if you have a long time to respond, like on a forum or something like that. Yeah. It is, but you know, I think you're right. And I, you know, again, I've been big about modeling, you know, even like with Laundromat Resource stuff, like I'm modeling a few different, like I've gotten comments all the time about like, man, this is a lot like Bigger Pockets, which is a real estate investing forum and podcast, and it's super successful. And I am modeling it after that and a couple other things too. But shoot, man, they have a lot of success and they're helping a lot of people and a lot of people are getting good results from it. So why wouldn't we, you know, try to get the same kind of results for people?
Right. If it's not broke, why fix it?
Exactly. I don't need to reinvent the wheel. And the same's true with, you know, my laundromat businesses, right? Like I don't need to reinvent the wheel for my laundromats either. There's a ton of people doing this business really well in a lot of different ways. Surprisingly, it's one of the big surprises is that people run this simple business in a lot of different ways. And so
those people run totally different than me that I would say are successful and probably do a great job. Total different models though.
Yeah. And there's stuff to learn from them, right? So that's
absolutely. Okay. So now we're going to move into pro tips.
Pro tips.
What's the best advice for someone who wants to buy their first laundromat for Jordan Berry?
I mean, for me, and this is, I will say that this is based on my experience personally, and I've said this a lot of times already, but the best advice I would give is, and it kind of ties into the secret sauce too, but it's like, you know, when you work with the best, you become the best. And so work with the best people, which means you have to find the best people. And in order to, find the best people, I think, you know, you need to meet people and you need to put yourself out there a little bit and let people know what you're looking for. Ask a lot of questions, be dumb. Like I tell people all the time, don't ever assume you know something. Like just be dumb. Like if you're willing to just be dumb,
people will talk.
Then you'll learn a lot, right? And here's the big secret is that you probably are dumb, you know, like because you can't know something you haven't done, right? And it goes back to your last question on like what's a top operator? It's someone who's done it, right? And if they've done it, then they know it. And if they're just talking about it, then they don't know it. Right. And so find people who've done what you're trying to do and be dumb because you're dumb because you haven't done it yet. Right. Whether that's buying your first laundromat or whether that's scaling to 40. Like if you've never scaled to 40, you're dumb in scaling to 40. So go talk to Luke, you know?
And he does respond to texts. He's actually pretty.
Yeah. He's awesome.
I asked him a question the other day. Like I'm buying this laundromat. I don't buy a lot of used laundromats. So I'm like, how do you dispose of the equipment on these laundromats you buy? And he shot me a text back. He gave me two resources.
Yeah.
Dude, I tell you, even now talking on the phone, like I said, people will help you. You just ask.
Yep.
Luke and I do not know each other well, but when I ever ask him a question, he always responds.
Yeah. He's an awesome guy.
Yeah. So this is a huge one. What resources would you recommend to help others grow their business or to grow personally?
Man, there's just, oh gosh, man, you are just, these questions are just, I love it. I'm going to say something that a lot of guests say, which is in something I just kind of said is, you know, first of all, other people are great resources. So utilize other people. And again, that's another, I'm just, you know, by way of promoting what's happening this year, again, for me, you know, another reason why I want to help people get their voices out, you know, whether that's on Laundromat Resource or whatever, through publishing, through writing blog posts, through making videos, the podcast, whatever, like I want to get people's voices out because, you know, I think other people who have done what other people are trying to do are great resources. So that's one, but I want to give a couple books too, because I read a lot of books. I've been reading like 50 or 60 a year. I tried to cut back last year. I ended up reading like 40. And I just end up reading a lot of books or listening to them as I'm driving around the LA freeway, sitting in traffic or whatever. So one that was huge for me, it was life-changing for me, is called Four Disciplines of Execution. And it's all about how to get things done, right? And for me, I'm not naturally like a doer. I'm not. I've been a doer now because I've seen the value, but I'm like a learner and a researcher and an analyzer, and I'll do that forever. And I'll turn around and be like, man, I'm in the same place. And again, I'll feel like I know stuff, but I don't because I haven't done it. Right. And so Four Disciplines of Execution is like how to really like do big things. And, you know, I want to do big things with my life and it takes operating in a certain way. So Four Disciplines of Execution, highly recommend it. I would check it out if I were you. Another one I really love is called Principles by Ray Dalio. And it just Ray Dalio, you know, he runs a huge, huge, investment fund, like, I don't know. I don't even want to throw out a number, but it's like, I don't know, like $1 trillion or something. It's like huge. And he wrote this book called Principles, and it just has all these like incredible principles that he implemented in his business and his life. And it was just really impactful for me. And then the other one, again, kind of along the lines of doing, is Atomic Habits. And there's a lot of habit books that I really like. I read Atomic Habits most recently, probably out of all the habit books I've read, and seeing how you can accomplish things that you want to accomplish by putting the right habits in place and by removing the habits that are holding you back, I think was a perspective shift for me that I had never really thought about. And so now I try to be very intentional about what habits I have in my life. So
you really do feel like, you know, actually I never get to have these discussions, but like, you know, people always ask me, or they assume that like I've read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, or something like Dave Ramsey, or which I've never read Dave Ramsey, or I don't even know if he's a reader or a speech guy, but I feel like my lifestyle is exactly opposite of his. I love to go in debt. I love to leverage money.
Me too. But
people always assume that I read books, and like people even ask me like the books I read. And like literally the only one I can say that even closely pertains to business, but doesn't, is I read The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale.
Mm-hmm.
And that did really change. And like I said, I actually feel like that book's very old. And I feel like people have just probably stolen from it and put a twist on it. But I feel like that was probably the original. And I keep trying to tell myself that I'm going to sit down and like read these books that people assume I've already read, like this Rich Dad, Poor Dad, or what you just said. Like, do you really feel like you get a lot out of See, I feel like I'm more like, I just call people. Like, I mean, and you, we talk about that thing. Like, I called Ray Anderson, who owns 60 gas stations. Like, I was roommates with, you know, a guy whose dad ran a chain of hotels. So I feel like I probably skipped the books because I got to ask, instead of reading what someone thought that I wanted to know, I got to ask the actual people what they did, maybe. I don't know. I just feel like, am I missing the boat with these books?
Well, I mean, first of all, I'd say, hey, give it a shot. But I mean, I think that's huge. Like, again, going back to, you know, if somebody's doing what you want to do and you have access to them, like, that's going to be your number one resource. I would say, like, go to that person, find out what they did, because if you do what they did, you're going to get results similar to what they got, most likely. Right. So I think that's huge. And like, I think, honestly, we talked about this during your episode, but I think that's one of your big strongest assets, like your strongest character traits, or I don't know, whatever, but like, it's one of the things you do the best is you're a really good networker and you find the people that, you know, that can help you get accomplish what you can accomplish. But for me, when I'm driving on the freeway, like, I don't listen to music ever, and people,
I don't either. I just listen to Plain Dead Car and think, do you get audiobooks?
I get audiobooks and I get podcasts. Like, so right when you finish all the podcasts, go download a couple audiobooks. And there's an app I love.
Whatever. Like, what one do you feel like changed Jordan Berry the most? And don't do a cliche one like Rich Dad Poor Dad. Like, what do you really believe?
It's changed me the most.
I'm going to definitely, the audiobook thing, I don't listen to radio. I literally just listen to blank. I've been listening to podcasts. Yeah. Like, when I drove to Indiana, I think I called you and I said, I listened to like, a 10-hour drive, I listen to like 9 podcasts.
Yeah.
So yeah. I've actually been doing that, but now I'm almost out of them. So maybe that's exactly what I'll do. I'll get books.
That's what I do. And I, you know, I sit on the freeway. I think Rich Dad Poor Dad did shift my thinking the most initially, because it just opened. Yeah.
They've assumed I've read it. I've never read it.
It opened. I mean, it's short. It's a short listen. I think you probably find it for free. In fact, there's an app you should download. It's called Libby. And Libby, L-I-B-B-Y.
Attachments, or do I need to write this now, right now? I'm going to attach it to the,
put it in the show notes. but you basically connect your library card with it and you can download audiobooks for free from your library. And you know, I listened to all the nonfiction, like I cleaned out all the nonfiction books in my whole library. It took me like 2 years or something. And I listened to every single one of them, and some of them multiple times. And I guess for those of you guys out there who have, you know, who are realtors, the National Association of Realtors, I guess, has their own library that you can connect on Libby too. And they have a ton of nonfiction books there. But I would say for me, the besides Rich Dad Poor Dad, I think probably the Four Disciplines of Execution was really the one that really shifted my thinking. I don't know that it would for you necessarily, because you're like a get it done guy, man. You're like a go do it.
Two things on my plate right now. Matter of fact, I'm still going to do the storage units, but since I got lots of balls in the air and whatever it hits, right? So I was going to do the storage units, but then this new laundromat thing came up. So I would say I that's what I do. I just put a lot of balls in the air.
Yeah.
And whatever one drops first, I just go jump on.
Yeah, me too. I mean, that's what I've been doing lately. And people are always like, you're doing too much. And it's probably true. So, but
like,
you know.
The storage unit thing, even my wife, she's like, so you're not going to do it? I said, I never said I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it right now.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we own the land. We have the dirt. Everything stays the same. I just choose to not build it right now because it's going to be a learning curve, right? I've never done it. So there's going to be mistakes and problems and issues, and it's going to be tough. But like I said, I 100% am going to do it. I just don't know when. It was going to be next, and now it's second, but something else might come in and push it to third, right?
Yeah. You're flexible. I mean, it's huge. When opportunities come, you jump on them. I love it. So audiobooks though, man, I'm a huge proponent of audiobooks.
No, when I write the thing of what I got the most out of, and I don't know if you're going to have me record that, but that is going to be it. I don't know. That's such an obvious thing. I don't listen to anything in my car, just silence. like I do, I still do need that because like I process stuff, right? Like,
yeah,
I go home, I got four kids and a wife. I go to the laundromats, I got, you know, what, 32 employees, 34 employees. Like my phone again, like I know you can see this, it's just like I have the ringer off though, and obviously now, but this thing is blowing up.
Yeah, mine too.
So when I get in the car, like it's like my, I got like a half hour to drive home and I'm like, let's download what's going on. Right.
Yeah. And you need that. I think that that's huge. And I think that's something that I didn't really appreciate until, you know, maybe the last year or two. You need that silent time. And I find that like when I give myself that space, that silence, that's where I get like my best ideas. That's where I get my best thoughts because I'm going like 1,000 miles an hour from one thing to the next thing, to the next thing all the time. And then when I get that silent time, my brain's like, okay, let's sift through this a little bit. And I get like, I mean, genius. You'd be blown away. No, I'm just kidding. But like, I get my best ideas.
Well, and I'll even say this. So like when I was driving to Indiana, like what I did is I put the earbuds in and I was listening to the podcast because they listen, you know, we have Denali, it's got screen. So they're listening to their Disney movies and stuff. And I usually just drown that out and I do my thinking because like I can just drown it out. I'm not interested in the Disney stuff going on. But like I said, I really appreciate you saying that. I'm going to get audiobooks. I mean, I can just throw the earpods in. They can be listening to their Paw Patrol and I'm rolling down the road with. And the nice thing with the earbuds, you can either let sound in or let them out. So I can let the sound in so I can be aware of what's going on. But
yep.
What I'm going to do, I'm going to start doing audiobooks. I just, nice. And like I said, I don't know that it's not, I'm not against reading. It's just, when would I read?
Yeah, totally. Well, and that's where I think audiobooks come in, you know, when I'm driving or when I'm, you know, what, like I've been working on the house, I'll have an audiobook going while I'm, you know.
Sometimes it's just the obvious. This is so obvious. I could have been doing audiobooks while I was listening to your podcast.
Wow, but way more valuable than audiobooks.
The next laundromat, I can't, unless you make it like 20 more by the time I get this little laundromat going. So, yeah. All right, perfect. I love it. So lastly, which I think probably most people know, but I'll ask you because it's on the list. How can listeners get in contact with you?
Yeah. I mean, shoot me an email, jordan@laundromatresource.com. Laundromatresource.com actually, obviously is a good place to go check out what we have going on. You know, if you're interested in even just seeing what's going on with diligent capital investments, you know, check that out over there. You know, if you want to, I don't know, I'm on like social media sites.
You're on Facebook. Yeah,
I'm on your Facebook group. Go over there. Laundromat owners only, right?
Yeah, no, we're the only.
So only if you own a laundromat though. If you don't own like one.
It is only because we have newbies. There's lots and lots.
Yeah, there's places, right.
I mean, we're not like anti-newbie. But if you buy it for one day, get on there. You'll learn a lot.
Yeah.
If you own a laundromat for one day, happy to have you. We just don't want the, you've seen them. People take it over, these people that they ask the same question that someone asked them 2 days ago.
Right.
Just like a repetitive loop.
Yeah, there's a place for that, but it's not on that one. Right. Yeah.
No.
Totally.
But I just want to tell you sincerely, thank you. Like, I mean, I do appreciate you doing this thing. I mean, I only knew about it because you had posted on there people looking for a thing. I didn't even know what it was. And I also want to thank you. The very first podcast I ever did with you.
Hey, man.
The very first podcast I've ever hosted.
Yeah.
With you. So, I mean, you're getting me into a whole new realm. And someone's coming in here now.
Yeah. Breaking in.
My brother.
Oh, this is awkward.
Good thing we're wrapping this up.
Yeah. Hey, I appreciate you saying that. And again, I appreciate you doing this. I mean, you know, just coming on and being willing to be a guest, but, you know, a whole nother level to come on and take over and be the host. And, you know, you made it look easy, which kind of makes me feel bad because maybe just is easy. Whatever. So I appreciate
like
it.
Stutter moments, like the old stutter was coming out at the beginning, but then I kind of thumped.
It's great. It's a lot of fun, man. This will probably be the longest episode. So, you know, sorry to everybody. It's probably because I'm a slow talker.
I could chime it in. I mean, be the host, not the guest.
No, it was great, man. I had a great time. You know, well, I appreciate you.
You had your thing, but
yeah,
went off script a little bit.
No, it was great, man. I wanted to go along. It was great. And thanks for having me on your show. I really appreciate it.
First guest ever, Jordan Berry.
Being the first guest, it just feels like an honor. feels like an honor.
Like I said, I actually am super honored too. I really do feel like this investment thing, there's no reason it shouldn't be here. Like, I feel like I helped launch what is going to make you a billionaire. You can be the laundromat billionaire.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Wow. Wow. I'm glad, you know, I posted, this is funny. You know, if you need to stop listening to this thing, you know, you're listening, you can stop now if you need to, but just a quick aside, I posted, a client flew me up to the Bay Area this past weekend to go check out a laundromat with them. And I posted a picture like, hey, hopping on, I was like Alaska Airlines, whatever, hopping on the plane to head up north. And Brandon Understall, who was a guest on the podcast, awesome, by the way, awesome episode. I'll link to it and I'll have Peter's people link to it. But he commented and he's like, pretty soon that's going to be a private jet you're flying. And so I was like, man, thanks for dreaming big for me. You know, I need people to help me dream big. So Laundromat Billionaire, thanks for dreaming big for me. I appreciate that.
I'm looking forward to it.
Well, hey,
I made his name up.
Yeah.
Well, from another guy, just added to it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, you'll have to leapfrog me and be the laundromat trillionaire. It'll be friendly competition. I like it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'll probably be one of your first investors unless I find 10 other things to invest in.
Yeah. So. Well, you know, I got to get in front of that storage unit somehow. Well, cool, man. Appreciate it.
Yep. Have a good one.
You too. All right. Well, that was a lot of fun. Definitely a different experience being on the other side of the coin. Man, hopefully somewhere in there, you can find one thing that you can take away. I say it every week. Pick something, implement it, put it into action. Could be big, could be small, but start stacking those actions that you put into practice, into your business and into your life, and watch how far you go. So pick something today. For me, the takeaway was, man, I'm going to stick to interviewing other people. It's so much easier. No, but seriously, for me, actually listening back through, I listened to it after we recorded it because I'm a huge nerd. But listening back through it, I was kind of surprised at how much I talked about wanting to help other people have a voice in this industry and to, you know, just deepen our knowledge pool. And my big takeaway is I'm going to start making more intentional steps to help some of you guys who have this desire to speak into this industry, to help elevate the industry, to have a voice and to have a platform to have a voice. And man, I just kind of realized, it struck me how excited I am about that. So very excited. I'm going to be putting that into action. Something you're interested in, you know, one of the ways we talked about in the podcast today or in any other way, man, let's have a conversation. Let's talk about what that looks like. And I would love to, help promote good knowledge and good experience and good wisdom and good tools and good resources for our industry. So if you want to be a part of it, let me know. Let's figure out how to do it. All right. I hope you survived that episode, and next week is going to be at least twice as good, guaranteed. All right. We'll see you guys then. Bye.